Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. Author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I'm also a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with speculators, hedgers, online traders, broker assisted. We also have a hybrid category if you're looking for a mix of both. So if you have any questions about what we do here or want to work with us, feel free to contact me. All my contact information is in the show notes on this podcast. You can find me on the web too. If you go to turnerstake.com, it'll bring you right to my webpage and you can find my contact information there, and also sign up for my newsletter if you'd like to receive that too. If you know anyone who likes information like this, please send it along, the podcast or the newsletter. That's how people find us, and that would be fantastic. So let's jump on into it. Next week is Thanksgiving week, which is normally a slow volume, low volume and kind of a slow week. So this week is the real last week of normal trading. I'm actually going to be down in the Memphis area visiting my in-laws. I'll be working during the day remotely, but I'll be putting out the newsletter. I don't know if I'll be able to put out the podcast next week. We'll just have to see. So today the big story in the macro markets was there is a story that came out of, I want to say it was Reuters, and then followed up by Bloomberg, that suggests that the U.S. and China trade deal might not be completed in 2019. I want to say that was around 11 a.m. or 12. As soon as that came out, stocks were down. Soybeans took a hit. The hog market touched limit down, then popped up a little bit, then finished limit down. I think the hog market is probably, and cotton was down too. So you know, lean hogs are the most sensitive to that, and I'll get to that in a second. But as far as the macro is, the stock market even sold off about 20 points in the S&P. I think the Dow was down 250. So, you know, and then right after that story came out, you know, someone from the administration said, oh yeah, talks are going well. So it's just this back and forth. It is an interesting cycle too, because, you know, because the stock market has been doing very well. We're, you know, S&P was above 3,100, making all new time highs. For those of you who have stock portfolios, now might not be a bad time to think about a little short S&P or buy some S&P puts. It's a lot more cost efficient and I think easier to do in the futures market than the stock market. That's what I would take a look at right now. I'm usually generally a bull, but I have been kind of bearish in the stock market. And then to see this today, just, I don't know, we're due for a correction and a sell-off. Something like this could prompt that as we head into the end of the year. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. If it doesn't get, what's interesting too about the, and this will be the last thing I'll say about it. While we've had these tariffs for the better part of what, a year going on too, stock market has rallied to new highs. Well, I still think China, I'd have to double check, but I want to say they're still down 10 or 15% from their highs. Their economy, China's economy, is not doing well. They're hurting a lot more than the United States is. Now, the U.S. economy hasn't been doing great either, but I will say this, you know, what happens is we have these tariffs, the economy starts to slow down, the Fed will ease, right, and try to compensate for that. The economy gets stronger, the stock market gets stronger, and then the whole cycle, you know, tends to repeat itself, right? Especially when we add on more tariffs. It sounds like that is going to be the way it is, and if the president does not get a deal done, let's say in the early, you know, later this year, in the early part of the new year, 2020, I don't know what the incentive is for China to be to get one and just wait for the election. Or, I mean, we also have the impeachment. I'm not getting into the impeachment trial now, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, right, politically. So we'll just have to just have to sit back and wait. I mean, Trump said that if they don't get a deal done, he'll raise tariffs a lot more. China's already feeling the effect of the tariffs. A lot of companies involved in manufacturing have moved out of the country and gone to Asian countries around China to avoid the tariffs that have been put on them. So it's not great for growth over there. And we'll see if they can come to the table and get something done. So that's the macro landscape. So the macro landscape was negative today and kind of has been. You get the feeling, especially from the commodity markets, that no one's really buying this trade deal. And the stock market is interesting, though. They are somewhat have for a while been buying it and even seen the stocks make new highs. So it seems like a little bit of a disconnect there. Switching on over to the grains and oil seeds. All right, so the news came down. You know, soybeans, Jan soybeans got as low. I said earlier this week that $9 is going to be support or should be support for Jan beans. If not, it could live in the high eights for a while. The thing is, the carryout is still in the 400s, right, for a soybean. So even with all this bearish Chinese news, it's hard to see soybeans live below $9 for any length of time just because of the carryout. Because the carryouts in the mid-4s are 450, 470, and that's without any Chinese demand, right? So if you get any kind of weather issues in Brazil, if China does come back, and I do think they'll have to buy beans from us regardless of the deal or not, or, you know, when they have talks again, they'll say they'll, you know, do a one-time tariff-free, you know, offer that up to their crushers because they need the beans, and they're going to have to rebuild this whole hog herd over there. So I see support for soybeans there. I mean, worst case scenario for soybeans in my mind is, you know, we get through this year, we're in the mid 400s for carryout, we're in the high eights, low nines. The China deal doesn't happen, and next year we plant 80, you know, north of 84 million acres. Like if we go 86 million acres, then all of a sudden, and there's no China deal, then all of a sudden, ending stocks balloon out to 600 or 700 again, and we're looking at lows. What are the lows? Like 830. You know, back when I think the lows were put in with the tariffs, and that's what could happen. I think what also could happen, though, is we eventually do get some kind of trade deal with China. I think acres next year are more likely to be 84 million, somewhere around there. And, you know, ending stocks are still around this 400 level, meaning that you can rally, you know, you can rally to 10 bucks in that kind of environment during planting or weather rallies. You know, if you have planting, you know, or, you know, summer season weather rallies and your carryouts 900, it's hard to get above 9 bucks. But when your carry, you know, when your stocks are starting off in the 400s, and, you know, a big scare could send production to, you know, to ending stocks for the next year to 300 or lower, that's how you get rallies to 10 bucks. So we would need a phase one China deal with it, but I'm not as bearish on soybeans as I am, let's say, corn right now. And I think soybeans chop. I really do. I think the end of the month is going to bring some pressure also. So let's keep an eye on soybeans here. There's going to be some weakness the market digests with the trade deal doesn't get done, and I wouldn't be surprised if we hit 9 bucks. We can even dip below it for a while, but ultimately, after we get through November, I would think we'd see a little bit of more of a buy, more of a bullish stance on the soybeans, but it'll chop for right now, if not lower. For corn, we are at 366 in December. I've been saying for a while 365 will be support. Could be 360. We could be trading the high 350s. I'll tell you why. We are now coming into the last 2 weeks of that December corn contract for, in terms of delivery purposes. First notice day is Friday, actually Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Next week is a low volume day. Anyone who's still long these corn and what, you know, is gonna have to get out. Otherwise, the clearing firms want you out anyways. But I mean, there is delivery risk when you hold it past first notice day. I think more importantly, the market just gets thin, and it's hard to trade and hard to get in and out of the every day we go past first notice day. So you're always best rolling your position anyways, unless you do want to have to deal with, you want to be part of delivery, which most people don't. But here's the thing too, you know, corn, all these basis contracts, storage contracts, a lot of them are tied to the December And what's going to have to happen here is they come into next Wednesday, they're going to have to price grain or roll it or, you know, figure out what they want to do with storage. And that tends to create selling pressure or price pressure in the corn market. So considering we're at 366 now and we still have Thursday, Friday, Monday, and then what's almost always seems to be a low volume Tuesday, and then an even lower volume Wednesday, because that's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and you get a lot of selling there. I could almost see in this scenario, us maybe overshooting to the downside because of those market mechanics. So I wouldn't be shocked if we were in the high 50s, 357, 358, something like that, come Tuesday or Wednesday. And then we got Thanksgiving Thursday, and Friday's a half day, which is usually dead around here. And you would think not a whole lot would go on with prices that day. Now the thing is, as soon as we get past that point, you start looking at corn. You know, we're competitive. Corn, U.S. corn's competitively priced against Black Sea and any corn around the world. Basically, Brazil and Argentina don't have a whole lot of corn left to sell. We've seen the premiums, the cash prices come up, and the United States is now competitive. So in these prices, we're seeing right now it's competitive with Black Sea. And that, to me, is usually the beginning of a floor with corn. So the high 350s, low 360s should be very supportive for December. The problem is once we move to March, which is about 10 cent difference right now, you know, that's going to, in over 3 months, will be the slow leak lower just because of the carry. But the bullish side of the corn market will be we will have better export demand in December, January, February, March. And then I think South America probably gets started again with exports in April. So there will be some time for U.S. to catch up on exports. I don't think it's going to be enough to catch up to what the USDA overall number is. So we do expect exports to eventually come down. But we also are expecting production for corn to come down too in terms of either harvested acres or the yield. And that should offset it. So I do think when corn, when it's all said and done, we could be at a 1.8 billion carry out and go either way. And then the big talking point will be next year. How many acres are we talking? Is it going to be, I've seen some analysts come out with the low 90s. I've seen it been in the mid 90s. I think the USDA baseline forecast was 94. But, depending on how many millions of acres each way and what the trend line yield is, we'll have you can make the argument new crop next year could be of an ending carry of 2.5 billion. You can make the argument too. Then with the bulls, we'll say be closer to 2. But I'm not seeing anything under 2 for next year, not the numbers this year. So corn does have a potential to rally as soon as we get past first notice day. What could March go to? March right now is 376, maybe 390. Maybe that's 15 to 20 cents higher, 390, 395. But again, if nothing changes, the lows are going to probably be like 360 again, whatever D's comes off the board. So it's going to be range bound, but there could be some better times ahead, I think, from corn. So if you are a bull and you want to buy corn, I would wait until first notice day, either Black Friday or the first, or the Wednesday of Thanksgiving, or maybe you wait the first week in December. Historically and seasonally, when we have adequate stocks to burden some stocks, the grain markets tend to bottom out seasonally around these delivery, around the first notice day delivery month. So that's how, and I think we do some interesting things with corn there. I kind of like the idea of selling a put, like that's around the money, and then buying two or three out of the money calls. You're almost on the short side, long the futures if it goes against you. But if it does, really does get some momentum, those two or three calls you own can almost act as two or three futures contracts past the strike price. I think that would be an interesting play. And I'll try to write about that later this week and early this week. But if you're a client and you really want to talk about it, give me a call and we'll go over it. Or if you're not a client and you want interested in these kind of things and think about opening an account, feel free to contact me. So that's where we are on the corn, the soybeans. I think soybeans and wheat be pretty supportive here, but corn's going to be the big deal right now. I mean, soybeans are the big deal because of the China news, but corn's going to be the big deal because of the first notice day. Feb hogs were a little bit down today. Cattle was pretty steady. The hog market's all about that China deal. If we do not get, you know, we are the pork in the United States is the cheapest around the world, but we're not being able to export it for political reasons to China. Hopefully that changes. If not, you know, when you look at a hog chart, you see these huge swings on it, and you know those swings basically represent the highs are, you know, realizing there's a global deficit. The United States has the pork, and we're going to export it. And the lows being is we have so much pork, it's just unbelievable, and we can't get rid of it because of basically right now political issues. So that's the range of the hog market. You kind of have to stick with it. I'd rather be long than short. I like the February versus April hog spread. That's been kind of our way to play it. Some traders just want to be long the back months and short the like December, always being short the front month. I get that because the cash price tends to weigh down on the front month of the futures. But I'm still a little bit hopeful on that. So on the hog market. Finally, I like sugar. I wrote about it and talked about it last week. It's probably if I had to pick all the commodities right now, if I was going to be bullish on for 2020, probably is the sugar market. We have a global production deficit, and that's why sugar has rebounded here. I think it can go higher. India is going to be pretty key to sugar production, but if you look at, the deficit we're going to have for probably the rest of 2020, I would think we get to 13, maybe 14 in sugar by the year end. So I do like that. I'm going to be looking at ways to buy it again. You know, maybe it's something like buying the at-the-money put, selling the at-the-money put and buying two or three out of the money calls. I'll take a look into that. Maybe some future spreads or just buying the futures. I think the nice thing about sugar is it's not a huge contract. And you can get a little creative with the call and put sides, because of it. Same way with corn too. So it's just a more manageable contract. So that's where we are. Just to recap here, the big macro story right now is U.S.-China trade deal kind of falling apart again. That's hurt the macro markets, and that's going to weigh on soybeans, cotton, hogs, the most. And we like the potential after first notice day for corn. I think soybeans really can. One last thing on soybeans, I didn't mention this. There were some questions today, how low can soybeans go if we really break lower in these technical levels? The funds are long soybeans. I don't see them getting short. I see them getting flat. I can definitely see that. Like if they're just like, well, you know, this U.S.-China, if the funds start to think this U.S.-China trade deal is never going to happen, I can see them getting flat. I don't think they'll get short because carryout's still in the 400s. If carryout was like in the 600 or 700s, funds would be short, then heavy short, kind of like corn. But that's not the case. If we're still in the 400s with carryout and we're at 11 or 12%, stock to usage, the funds aren't going to get heavily short because they know any kind of trade deal sends this market sharply higher. Any kind of U.S., any kind of South American weather issues, and we're just getting into the growing period down there, will send the market a lot higher. So I don't see that, and that's why I also think soybeans are definitely supportive for the time being, right? At some point, and whether it be at 9 or somewhere in the high eights. Don't think we're going back to 860 or 830 or anything like that anytime soon. So that is about it. Everyone have a great rest of the week. I will be in Memphis seeing my in-laws next week for Thanksgiving, but I'll be around by email. I will be putting out newsletters. Probably have my phone at the desk forwarded to my cell phone so you can call in the office, especially for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I'm going to try to get out a podcast next week, too. So if you like this podcast, please go to iTunes and give it a review. The more people who review the podcast, the more it'll come up when people search for grains, marketing, and commodity trading podcasts, and the more people will find us. And I always appreciate everyone who listens and everyone who gives us a recommendation. So have a great week, and I'll be talking to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.